back. It's been a while. The Fantasy Football Fools coming back at you. No LSAO today, but you got me and you got Brandon. How you doing?
Great. Coming back at you.
Coming at you.
There you go. That's his, that's his football name. Pressing the wrong buttons here. Coming on, yeah. That's your football name.
That is. But we've had a disappointing season so far this year. So I just had to get it out as much as I can because I haven't been able to do it much this year.
Yeah, you're telling me. I'm at the bottom of the barrel too over there. All right. So we've had a couple weeks off here. Me and Eliseo were traveling the world. We were in Jamaica for a little while and kind of hard to do podcasts over there, so we just kind of took a hiatus.
Hopefully you guys were spreading the word to the people of Jamaica about this wonderful podcast that we do here.
We were talking to Mark Davis and, you know, trying to get some things in the works, and it has been worked. So a lot to talk about. Not that much. We're not going to go back in time. You guys know what's going on. You watch every week. We're going to go into week 9 and kind of get this started with some anything you want to talk about off the bat? We're not going to do that.
You cue me. Like you mentioned, lots of things. It's been a while. Obviously, the Raiders fired their head coach. You kind of alluded to that. How do you feel as one of the Raider fans of this podcast?
I freaking love it. I mean, that guy was horrible. Everybody knew it. Nobody wanted it. Mark Davis.
Al also never wanted to lose, no. So he couldn't have been happy in heaven.
Mark said an apology to the players afterwards saying, hey, sorry I screwed up your season. So now the thing is just get somebody good, man. Get somebody good and let's take it from there.
And all the stories that came out afterwards too have been awesome. There was supposedly a team meeting the week of him getting fired where Antonio Pierce, the new coach, kind of spoke up and was talking about his time with the Giants and how they, rallied when they were underdogs against the Patriots. And afterwards, McDaniels told him to never talk about the Patriots like that, which is crazy and not surprising. But then, to see the way the Raiders kind of rallied around Antonio Pierce, and they showed up this week. They played really well for him, smoking cigars in the locker room afterwards. So, yeah, it's kind of been a long time coming for McDaniels to be fired. We'll kind of see what happens moving forward with the Raiders, but certainly an exciting start.
I think everyone's excited in fans, from the players to the fans. They do play Miami and Kansas City, so it's gonna be a tough sledding, but still, it's for the best. All right,
couldn't be worse.
Let's get into these injuries.
Oh, son of a! That's gonna leave a mark.
Daniel Jones, torn ACL. He is out for the year.
Yeah, it feels like he's been out all year anyways. He's obviously injured before this ACL. He wasn't very effective. So now we get Tommy DeVito, who we've seen the last couple of weeks, and he's been miserable. Just a really disappointing season for the Giants. They made the playoffs last year, which I think was a surprise to some, and they've just been absolutely terrible this season. So I'd be curious to see what they do. I imagine they'll have a really high draft pick, and is it time to take another quarterback? We'll see. But yeah, he's out for the year. Tommy DeVito, the new quarterback there, obviously not great for any of the fantasy weapons for the Giants.
It's the Caleb Williams race going on over there. Jaren Hall, the new quarterback for Minnesota, because Kirk Cousins is out, played I don't know how many snaps, not very many, and out with a concussion.
Yeah, he was there inside the red zone. He scrambled, tried to get in the end zone, took a huge hit. He made way for Josh Dobbs, and I'm gonna get to him later in my special segment. So I'll talk about that then. Kind of an interesting stat I heard on the way over here actually. If it feels like there's been a lot of quarterback injuries this year, there has been. I think it was like 57 quarterbacks have played this year, which is crazy. Obviously, 32 teams and 46 different quarterbacks have started. So that's, at least 14 teams have had to start a second quarterback already. It'll be 47 this week when Kyler Murray makes his debut. So just a weird year for quarterback injuries and kind of, the depth at quarterback. And it's been bad. The bad quarterbacks are bad, and it really shows.
I think you're seeing a changeover too now in the NFL, because I mean, and we'll talk about some quarterbacks later, but Josh Dobbs is one of them that, you kind of want. And then those pocket quarterbacks, I mean, they don't have that upside as much anymore. So I think there's a whole thing going on, which has been happening for years, but I think now we're kind of, it's going to be a new, these next couple of years are going to show what people are looking for in quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think you're going to start to see teams value that backup quarterback with them playing so much. They might spend a little bit more money on it. But as you mentioned, kind of the backup quarterbacks that can kind of scramble, that can, you know, take plays and extend plays and make them longer, can kind of do some things with their feet. I think, yeah, you might be seeing them, you know, have a home, make some more money, because they've seemed to be more effective when they've come in backup duty.
Jalen Hurts limped around. He didn't actually get hurt. He didn't come out of the game, but he didn't look great for a while there. Could be nothing, but just something to monitor this week. Christian Watson, chest, back, and concussion.
Yeah, when I got the alert.
He actually didn't get a concussion, I guess, but the chest and the back are right. True.
I got the alert on my phone that had happened. It was literally all three, which you're like, oh my goodness, that's never a good sign. He's been disappointing this year, obviously, as the whole entire Packers offense has been. But yeah, certainly something to keep in mind, but not somebody you probably want in your starting lineup right now, until obviously he gets healthy or you see some better production. But yeah, never good to, you know, have commas with your injuries.
Dallas Goedert, fractured, broken.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing.
He's on IR. They haven't put him on IR yet, I don't think, right. But he's
expected
gonna be
to be on IR. That's 4 weeks. That's a big one. Again, we talk about this, you know, when we actually do podcasts every week, that, you know, tight end's a wasteland. And so this is one of the better ones, that now, you know, Philadelphia will be without for at least the next 4 weeks. So a big loss for them. They have a tough schedule coming up as well. But I think, you know, this is kind of good news for maybe Devontae Smith. Maybe he sees an increase in production now that Goddard's not there. Obviously, A.J. Brown's been outstanding, but maybe an increase for Devontae Smith and their third receiver, Zacchaeus.
I think when Dallas Goedert has been hurt, Devontae Smith has done really well.
Right.
K.J. Osborne, hard hit. He passed some. He was limp, not moving on the field for a short period of time, and then he got up and walked over to the cart. So I think hopefully he'll be okay. I'm sure he's in concussion protocol right now. But yeah, that was he got sandwiched right there, and something to monitor. He might not play this week, especially if you're in concussion protocol. I feel like you miss a week. So
right.
Cam Akers, he tore his Achilles. Not the same one, the other one.
Right, he's torn both now in the span of just a couple of years. Definitely a heartbreak for him. Yeah, you hate to see it, but again, to talk about the fantasy impact, I think, yeah, kind of reaffirms Madison as the kind of every down back there. So again, I think he'll still be getting the bulk of the work, but yeah, you just hate to see a guy tear his Achilles, you know, for the second time.
I mean, he needs to call Aaron Rodgers because he's already walking around.
That's
59
right.
days
yeah,
after.
He may be playing soon, he says. So.
That's insane. Joshua Palmer, knee on the IR. I'm not sure what the injury was. I didn't catch that, but it's a knee injury, and obviously it's big enough to be on the IR.
Yeah, he came into the week. This was, I think, from a week and a half ago. He had, you know, came into the game with kind of the knee injury, knee designation, and then got hurt in the game and came out, and then he's been put on IR since. So, yeah, interesting to see what the Chargers do. Obviously, they have rookie Quentin Johnston there. They already have Mike Williams out. So you'd expect to see Quentin Johnston make a move. Didn't do it this week. Obviously, they played the Jets, a really good pass defense. But again, we've talked about it, you know, time and time again. We start to see rookies make moves in the second half of the season as they get more comfortable. So definitely a guy I would, you know, stash on the bench potentially just to keep an eye on. But yeah, he's kind of the next guy in line after Keenan Allen there.
And if you got Austin Ekeler like myself,
absolutely
great. Josh Downs, knee injury. Not sure how long he'll be out.
Yeah, hopefully not too long. He had been really coming along, you know, the last couple weeks. So yeah, again, something to monitor. Haven't really seen an update on his injury status, but he'd been pretty effective when he had been playing lately with Gardner Minshew.
And we don't normally put kickers on here, but I put Kyheem Fairbairn. He hurt his quad, and let me tell you, this week, the Houston game and the Minnesota game was the best football I've watched in a long time. And I think we should maybe get rid of kickers altogether and just make you go for everything.
Yeah, go for two.
Or
yeah, go for fourth down.
I guess you have to kick off the ball. But it was great when their running back,
Dare Ogunibale came in. Yeah, he kicked a field goal. Legitimately kicked
29-yard field. Yeah,
yeah, which is awesome. You love to see that. And then
he did the kickoffs and everything.
Yeah, and then watching them go for two was exciting. Yeah, I love it. I'm good with not having kickers, but. Obviously, you hate to see guys get hurt, but this is interesting and fun and different. So, yeah, it was kind of exciting to see.
All right, that does it for injuries. Let's get into these awesome guys.
Awesome!
All right, quarterback. I think we all know what's coming right here. This week, it's not anybody you would have thought. C.J. Stroud. 470 yards. 5 touchdowns. Oh, he had a 2-point conversion too, because why not? 52 fantasy points. He is the real deal.
Yeah, he's awesome. He was my favorite quarterback of the draft class coming out, and he's just showed it. 470 yards, a rookie record, 5 touchdowns, and he was awesome in the fourth quarter of that game, as you mentioned, one of the probably the game of the weekend. Against Tampa Bay. He came back late in the fourth quarter, I think twice. He came back. I thought that was it. Then Minnesota came down and scored, Tampa came down and scored, rather. And then he brought him back once again.
The ending of that game was
insane.
Amazing.
He was awesome. He had 3 receivers that went over 100 yards and all scored a touchdown. So spreading the ball around. He was awesome. Somebody to certainly keep an eye on moving forward. His schedule looks pretty good. He's looked awesome. He's been really consistent this year, only throwing 1 interception. That's been a record so far as well. So just been super consistent. He's been really, really good, and a guy that I'm excited to watch over the second half of the season.
Asking for a friend, C.J. Stroud or who the heck is my quarterback? Oh my God, Lamar Jackson the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think it's still Lamar. He just has the potential on the ground to get you so many points. But yeah, Stroud. I mean, Stroud again. He had this crazy performance, 52 points. Let's not forget the week before, but against Carolina, which you think would be a good matchup, and he was only worth 140 yards, didn't throw a touchdown. So, I think he's somewhere in between those two performances. Obviously, that might be his lowest scoring week and his highest scoring week, so he's going to finish somewhere above that. But I wouldn't take this too far out of context. Again, you love to see it out of a rookie quarterback, but again, just there's going to be some inconsistencies there. So given those two choices, I think I would take Lamar for rest of season.
Yeah, I say that because Baltimore had like 37 points and Lamar had 10 points. But it was all rushing right. Touchdowns. Yeah. That's what you get. All right. And then I want to talk about the second quarterback here too. Dak Prescott, 29 points, 374 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's kind of coming into his own right here. And they have a pretty decent schedule moving forward. What do you think about him?
Yeah, he's... much better fantasy quarterback than he is a real life quarterback. He still does, some weird, dumb things that are hard to justify. Had that 2-point conversion where he kind of stepped out of bounds. Probably didn't have to, but he's not as fleet of foot as he used to be. But again, the last 2 weeks he's been really good. So week 8 against the Rams, 304 yards, 4 touchdowns. This week against a good Philly defense, 374 yards and 3 touchdowns. Kept him in the game certainly. You want to get more out of him. You're starting to see that again in fantasy. Definitely a guy, very, very viable option. Just real life quarterback, very frustrating. So, if you can keep those two things separate, awesome. And, he's definitely a viable option moving forward.
Wide receiver of the week, Tank Dell, 24 fantasy points, 114 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns. I'm going to lump him together with the number 2 wide receiver, Noah Brown, also on the Houston Texans. 2% rostered, 153 yards, 1 touchdown. If you had any piece of Houston, you were looking good.
Yeah, they were both awesome. As you mentioned with Stroud, he spread the ball around. I'm sure we'll talk about the tight end here soon as well. That was the third guy that I was mentioning, all over 100 yards, all with a touchdown. Again, it's interesting. Even Nico Collins had a decent game too. So there's a lot of weapons there. Again, you kind of don't know who's going to step up each week. I think Dell's kind of the most exciting. He's small and fast and quick and kind of does exciting things. So he's the one I would prefer rest of season over Noah Brown. But again, I think Nico Collins obviously still squarely in the mix there for that Houston passing offense.
And then how about CeeDee Lamb, number 4 here on the week? You have him. I brought him up because he had zero touchdowns, but 191 yards.
Yeah, unbelievable. 16 targets. So that's what Dallas has kind of gone back to, you know, throwing the ball to their main weapons. And so he's clearly the number one option there. Again, last few weeks, 117 yards, 158 yards, 191 yards. I did have two touchdowns a week ago. So yeah, he's definitely been getting the volume lately. Definitely been kind of the main target for Dak. And again, if Dak's going to have a good week, CeeDee Lamb is going to follow suit as that number one option.
On to running backs. Rashad White took the crown of the week. 73 yards, two touchdowns, another 46 yards through the air, 23 fantasy points. That Tampa Bay-Houston game, man, there was a lot of offense there. I'm going to go on to number two because this is nice to see. Josh Jacobs, 98 yards and two touchdowns, 26 carries. You love to see it. They should have been doing it all season. Give your playmakers the ball.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a theme for today's podcast. And so, yeah, Jacobs, again, good to see finally getting the work like he got last year. Obviously, the two touchdowns, nearly 100 yards on the ground. I think we're going to see more of that. I look for a big second half from Josh Jacobs just as they start to, you know, find their identity again and find the things that worked for them last season.
I tried to trade for him. I tried to get him. Didn't work out before this happened because I thought this was going to happen even with the coach there. And then Keaton Mitchell, number three from the Baltimore Ravens, 138 yards, one touchdown. He was the guy. Is he the guy?
So that's the thing. I don't know that there's a good answer to that. So again, he led the backfield in yardage this week, but Gus Edwards still stole two touchdowns, but he only had five carries. So five carries, 52 yards, two touchdowns. Justice Hill actually played the majority of the snaps. He had 13 carries. So I don't know that I like anybody in the Baltimore backfield. And, you know, Lamar's obviously going to steal carries as well and steal touchdowns on the ground there too. So if I had the choice, I wouldn't play any of them. But if you forced me to take one, it's probably Edwards, just maybe as a goal line back. But I hate the fact they only got five carries in a game that they led, throughout the way.
Yeah, Gus is a touchdown monster. It's going to be a rotation. It's going to be week to week. You just have to throw a dart and pick the right one or stay away. Tight ends, we talked about it. Dalton Schultz, Houston Texans, 130 yards, one touchdown. Is this going to continue?
Yeah, I think so. If you look at his last 5 weeks, he's been in double figures four of the five. And again, at the tight end spot, that's so hard to predict, and there's just not enough good players there. I think he's shown that he can be consistent. So I think I'm keeping him in my lineup moving forward, just again at that weak tight end spot with a good quarterback with C.J. Stroud.
Dalton Schultz or T.J. Hockenson rest of the year?
I think it's still T.J. Hockenson just because he's been the guy without Jefferson. Jefferson obviously coming back potentially in a couple weeks, maybe this week. Maybe next week. But I still think it's T.J. Hockenson. It's close, but I think I would still rather have Hockenson moving forward just because he's just had the volume all season long.
T.J. or Taysom Hill? Taysom Hill, 12 points, 20 points, 18 points the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's been great. I think I had this rant last year. I hate Taysom Hill like as a tight end because he's not really a tight end, right? He's taking the majority of the snaps at the quarterback in the red zone, even threw a touchdown this week. So, I mean, it's kind of a cheat code at tight end. And again, he's going to give you some good weeks. He's going to give you some zeros, though, too, which he has, at the beginning of the year, he scored 0, 7, 1, 0, 1, 4. Certainly been on a tear the last 3 weeks, though. So I would ride the wave while you can. But it's very frustrating for all the other Saints, skill players who lose out on touches to Taysom Hill.
He did something that no one's done since 1957. I guess he has 10 passing, rushing, and receiving touchdowns, wow. Which has never been done since 1957. So good for him. But I think T.J. Hockenson is the you have a better floor there. Kicker of the week was not Fairbairn. It was
Young Wei Koo.
Young Wei Koo. That's it. 19 points. He, 19 points. That's decent amount. That's more than my quarterback got. So
there Same. You go.
And then the defense of the week was the LA Chargers. I picked them up last minute, which was a great pickup. 28 fantasy points, 8 sacks. What do we got here? 3 fumble recoveries, a fourth down stop, a touchdown. They destroyed the Jets.
Yeah, they ran a punt back for a touchdown too. Yeah, I think that's just called, you know, playing against Zach Wilson.
All right, let's get on to the other side of things.
You blew it!
These guys certainly did. Justin Herbert, our favorite guy to talk about. He destroys somebody's week at least once a season. 1 fantasy point, 16 out of 30 for 136 yards and 5 sacks. Who had Justin Herbert?
I don't know. It's weird. Move on. Yeah, that was me. I needed help elsewhere. You know, he just didn't do it for me this week. But I wasn't expecting a lot from him. But, you know, 1 point is crazy. But I think a lot of that was game script. They had a defensive touchdown. They had a punt return touchdown. Like, the game just kind of got away from them. They started running the ball with Eckler. And the Jets really weren't doing anything to force the Chargers to pass. So I think I could attribute that to game script. He's still a top 5 quarterback on the year. And I would look for some bigger things moving forward. Just, you know, bad game script, bad matchup. But, you know, not worried about Herbert.
Lamar Jackson, we talked about him, 10 fantasy points. You know, not horrible, but 21 for 26, 187 yards passing, 60 rushing yards, but he did have a sack and a fumble. It's just they run the ball a lot, so you're going to get those games. But that's kind of his floor, you know? So you're not going to get 1 point, hopefully, from him. You know, you're going to get minimum 10, which is not a great week, and I only needed 3 points, 4 points to win, so you know, that would have been nice, but didn't happen. Wide receiver Quentin Johnson, he's, you know, a lot of people have him. It's the second half of the season now. They think that he's going to break out, and he could with the injury, but he had 1 fantasy point, 2 catches, 14 yards.
Yeah, again, disappointing matchup. But again, somebody I'm hoping to not put in my lineups quite yet. You want to see it first. And so he's a guy I'm happy to stash on my bench. I just wouldn't start him until you see it. Once you see it, then you can believe it. Then you can put him in there. But until we see it, he should remain on your bench.
DJ Moore, 2 fantasy points, 3 catches, 44 yards, and a fumble.
Yeah, what a kind of drop from as good as he was, you know, at the start of the year. He was a monster, a couple huge games, and just hasn't really been great since then. Obviously, you know, Fields got hurt. He should be back soon, which should certainly help, but not the performance you're looking for from DJ Moore.
Kenneth Walker, the 3rd, 1 fantasy point, 9 carries, 16 yards, 1 catch, 1 yard.
Yeah. Not what you want to see either. Again, that game got away from them real quick too, with Baltimore dominating. So, but the thing that I'm more concerned with is the last 2 weeks, Zach Charbonnet has actually played more snaps than Kenneth Walker. So something to watch moving forward. Again, we knew they took Charbonnet in the second round of this past NFL draft. He was always going to be there. Walker had just been pretty dominant to start the season. He had been great, a ton of work. So yeah, is that a product of the game script at losing, you know, by 34 to Baltimore, or is it a product of Charbonnet starting to get more work? I think that's something we can look at this weekend when they play Washington, which should be a much more favorable matchup for them.
And then I will talk about this in a little bit. I'm sure it'll be part of your conversation. But Bijan Robinson, 3 fantasy points, 11 carries, 51 yards, 2 through the air for 8 and a fumble.
Yep, I'm going to hold my thoughts.
All right. And then tight end Travis Kelce, 1 fantasy point, 3 catches for 14 yards. I know you see the note right here.
Read the stat, yeah. Read the stat.
Travis Kelce games with Taylor Swift in attendance. He averages 14 fantasy points per game. Travis Kelce games without her in attendance, 7 points per game. Double. He's doubling.
Did she not have her passport? Like, why wasn't she in Germany for this?
She's in Argentina. She's starting her tour again, so she won't be back. That means, if this is true and continues to be the case, Travis Kelce will not be good until December.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, so bench him all of November. That's what Jesse's recommending right now.
No, you're never gonna bench him. That's, you know, it's a small sample size, but it is an 8-game sample size. Yeah. So I mean, it's you got something to work with there. All right, before we get into waiver wire pickups, let's talk about your buddy, your friend, your favorite man, Arthur Smith.
Oh, okay. The floor is mine. Okay. So you guys can't see this, but I have a whole legal pad here full of notes that I want to get to. As Jesse LSA and I were texting about this episode, I commented back. I said, I need like 5 minutes to go on a rant about Arthur Smith. So I just took the mic out of the holster because I really want to make sure I can get all these notes. Okay. Arthur Smith is probably the most hated man in Atlanta. And here's why. So me personally, one, I'm a Bijan Robinson owner, but it goes way, way, way past that. So Arthur Smith, I had given him the benefit of the doubt before this week because they were winning games. They were in contention in the NFC South. However, now they're 4-5. So they have a losing record, which Arthur Smith has in his entire coaching career. He's 18-25 overall. His first 2 years in Atlanta, 7-10. This year, like I mentioned, 4-5. But not only did they lose this week, they lost to Minnesota. Minnesota does not have their best player, Justin Jefferson. Minnesota does not have their quarterback, Kirk Cousins. Minnesota's backup quarterback got hurt. And so they turned to Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs arrived at the facility on Wednesday of this week. He was not expected to play. He was not expected to do anything. But, hey, duty calls. He was the backup quarterback. He came in. He didn't even know the plays. He didn't even know the cadence. And he came in and led them to victory over Arthur Smith's Falcons. Why is that, you may ask? Well, here's a big list of why that is. Arthur Smith hates playing his best players. 2021, Kyle Pitts, drafted fourth overall. He's a good player, right? His last season in college at the University of Florida in the SEC, the best conference in college football, he had 12 touchdowns in 8 games. He's a proven player. So far this year, 32 catches in 9 games and 1 touchdown. 1 touchdown, that's it. Backup tight end, Jonnu Smith, 34 catches, 2 touchdowns. So he's rather playing the backup than the guy that they drafted fourth overall. The guy they drafted the following year, 8th overall in the 2022 NFL draft, Drake London. Again, last college season, big time college production at USC, 1,084 yards and 7 touchdowns in only 8 games. So he's a proven playmaker. So far this year in 8 games, only 37 catches, right? They're using Mack Hollins. They're using Kadarryl Hodge. They're using Van Jefferson. They're not using their best wide receiver, Drake London. This year, drafted 2023, 8th overall, Bijan Robinson. Just from the eye test alone, he's might be the most talented running back in the league. His last college season, as I mentioned with the other two, he played at Texas. Again, another huge college program. 1,900 yards and 20 touchdowns in only 10 games at Texas last year. Unbelievable production. This year, he has 103 carries for 517 yards. Tyler Algier, the backup running back, 116 carries, so 13 more carries, and only 371 yards. So 140 less yards on 13 more carries. Bijan Robinson, 5 yards a carry. Tyler Algier, 3.2 yards per carry. Okay, that says a lot. Bijan Robinson, 1 rushing touchdown. Tyler Algier, 3 rushing touchdowns. Bijan Robinson, this season, only has 1 carry on goal-to-go situations. He's your best running back, and he only has 1 carry on goal-to-go. This season, Bijan Robinson has 4 runs of 20 yards or more. Tyler Algier, 1 run of 20 yards or more. That's just rushing, right? I haven't even talked about the receiving numbers yet. And that's where Bijan, clearly a better receiver than Tyler Algier. So again, Arthur Smith, 18-25 career record, not a good coach, not winning games, not playing his best players. However, do you know, this is actually a question for you, Jesse. I'm going to let you interlude here. All right. You know what Arthur Smith's father, who he is, or like what he has done?
Oh man, I just read this. I forgot what it was, but he's a billionaire from some company.
Yeah, he basically started FedEx.
FedEx, that's what it was, yeah.
So Arthur Smith doesn't need to work, doesn't need the money, like got into coaching because he enjoyed it, whatever it was, like didn't need to work. So his father obviously figured out how to do logistics, how to get things moving, how to do the things in the best possible order, but didn't pass it along to his son. I saw a quote today that Arthur Smith, who shaved his mustache this week, that was a big, big point. Maybe that'll help him make better decisions. But he said today that Bijan Robinson is excelling away from the ball. That's how he kind of described it, that Bijan Robinson is excelling away from the ball, which I'm not even sure what that means. So basically, and then I saw this one tweet that really kind of summed up everything I'm trying to say here. And it was, rumor has it that Arthur Smith's favorite approach to chess is sacrificing his queen just so he can prove how smart he is with his pawns. That's literally what he's doing. He's not playing his best players. This is essentially the equivalent of me going to my job, and instead of using my computer to send emails to my coworkers, it's me handwriting letters and then delivering them. That's what I'm not using the resources that I have. I'm not using the technology that I have. Like, what is he doing? I'm so sick of this. Atlanta's sick of this. NFL is sick of this. Fantasy analysts are sick of this. Like, everybody is sick of this. Like, why are you drafting these guys in the top 10 just to not use them? Like, I don't understand it. Nobody understands it. So this is my start of my petition. I want Arthur Smith to be fired for malpractice. I mean, this is unbelievable. Get him out of Atlanta. Get him out of the NFL. He clearly does not know what he's doing. So if the Raiders could fire Josh McDaniels, the Falcons should fire Arthur Smith.
Woo! Let me just...
You suck, you jackass!
Basically sums that up.
Yeah, that's exactly what I just said.
Everyone's thinking it. Everybody knows that something's wrong there. So you go by... I don't know who the owner is, but...
Arthur Blank.
Yeah. Look at Mark Davis. He did the right thing. You know, he admitted his wrong, and he moved on. So, yeah, he was talking about... I saw the last press conference, and he was talking about Tyler Allgeier and how good he's doing, and it seems like he's just going to continue on the same path that he's been with his players. So.
Yeah, so frustrating.
Good thing I got Drake London. All right. Well, let us know what you guys think. Tweet at us over there, and tell us what you think of Arthur Smith. Maybe some of you have Jonnu Smith. I don't know. Maybe it's good for you, but, we'll see where that goes. Cause you know, he's excelling away from the ball. All right, let's get into some waiver wire pickups for week 10. This is Tuesday, so you're probably not going to listen to this before we
get him in tonight.
Yeah. But maybe some of these guys will be available. Maybe some of these guys will be dropped. The first one we're going to talk about was dropped in one of my leagues. He was. and actually, I think Yahoo sent me an update saying, because he's on my team, that he was dropped by a ton of leagues because it's his bye week. But we'll start with running backs. Darrell Henderson Jr. The Rams, I don't know. I don't know who it's going to be, but he's 58% rostered right now. I think that there's potential for him to break out.
Could be, but I'd also keep an eye. Kyren Williams probably be back at some point as well. Rams, again, on a bye this week. I think Kyren Williams probably expected back either week 11 or week 12. So there's a small window to get Darrell Henderson and use him. But again, I think when Kyren Williams comes back, as he was at the beginning of the year, I think he'll be the number one back there.
And they're on a bye this week, so that makes sense. That's why he was dropped so much. So, but, I mean, if Kyren's not back, then, you know, somebody that could be useful for you. We talked about it. Zach Charbonnet, 49% rostered. Playing Baltimore, Washington, and the Chargers coming up next.
Yeah, again, a guy that I would grab off the wire if you can. Again, I wouldn't start him quite yet, but again, just the way that he's been getting more work than Ken Walker the last 2 weeks, I think is certainly something to watch. And again, as we mentioned, playing the Commanders this week, I'd really like to see in a more favorable game script what that breakdown looks like in the backfield. But Charbonnet, you know, big potential. We've seen Ken Walker be really, really good these first, you know, 5 or 6 weeks of the season. So if that all of a sudden becomes Charbonnet, that's certainly a valuable asset down the stretch.
Chuba Hubbard didn't have a great week this week. He is 64% rostered, but it looks like he's the main guy in Carolina right there. They have Indy, Chicago, and Dallas. So someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I think he's taken over the backfield from Miles Sanders there. So again, a starting running back at this point in the season is certainly a valuable asset. Had 16 carries a week ago, and Miles Sanders only had 6. So it looks like Chuba Hubbard is the guy. And they play Chicago, I think, this week on Thursday. So kind of a favorable matchup there as well if you are in need of a running back, because a lot of good offenses are on bye this week.
And we're going to stay with running backs here. There's like four more I want to talk about right here. Amari DiMicardo from the Cardinals has Cleveland, Atlanta, and Houston coming up. 45% rostered. I mean, Arizona's going to have Kyler back soon, I think, and that I think is probably going to be better for Amari.
It is, but along with getting Kyler back, I think they're going to get James Conner.
James Conner? Is he coming back too?
Yeah, okay. James Conner should be back in a week or two as well. I think they opened up his practice window this week, so you should see him in the next couple of weeks. But again, curious to see what that Arizona offense looks like. I don't think they're trying to win games, but kind of looks like it with Kyler Murray there. So not exactly sure what they're doing, but yeah, I would be careful with DiMarcado, just knowing that Conner may be back within a few weeks.
Justice Hill, Baltimore. We talked about that backfield, but you never know. I mean, those players can be valuable, and one injury can just, you know, catapult them into the front.
There. Certainly running back roulette, but again, Justice Hill played the majority of the snaps this week. The other two guys had, you know, the touchdown. So it's, again, running back roulette, but all things considered, I'd rather play the guys that are getting the most opportunities, that are getting most of the snaps.
Two more, Tajee Spears. Everyone, he's 57% rostered, which is, I didn't think he was that rostered, but look, people don't think Derrick Henry is going to be able to do it. I think he's the Yeti and he's going to continue to just deliver. I have him on my team and I believe in him. I almost traded him away. There was a good trade offer I got. I'm sure you've heard about it.
No.
But it was Derrick Henry for Joe Mixon and DK Metcalf.
Oh, okay.
I know. I was.
Who was that with?
It was Adam.
Adam, okay.
Yeah. So I was about to press the button.
Good trade,
But I didn't, and I'm okay with it. If I would have, I would have been okay with it too. So yeah, it was a good trade offer. But I believe in Derrick Henry. That's why I drafted him. And but, you know, Tajay Spears, he's the one that's going to be the future there, so.
Yeah, they've been splitting a lot of work there. Again, Henry's been kind of he got a lot of the carries last week, but the weeks before that, I think Spears had actually been out snapping Henry, and I don't want to spoiler anything later, but there might be some more discussion of the Tennessee backfield coming up in a later segment.
Ooh, and lastly, Buffalo Bills, Leonard Fournette, newly acquired, Cincinnati, Denver, and the Jets. It's all right. Only 10% rostered.
Yeah, again, I think he's a guy you can stash, especially in larger leagues. I think I stashed him last week in like a 12-team league. Again, I'm just the Bills are, you know, obviously have big aspirations, and I think they signed him for a reason. You know, obviously, I'm losing track of names. Harris, I can't remember what his first name is. Damian Harris got hurt in the Buffalo backfield, and he was kind of their goal line guy. Latavius Murray hasn't been very good this season, and he's kind of taken on that role. So I wonder if, yeah, Fournette just becomes a guy that they want to trust more in the playoffs, kind of a big bruiser back and keep on the field. He's a good pass catcher. So I think he's kind of a combination of what they have in James Cook and Latavius Murray. He's kind of one back that does both of those things. We've seen it before, you know, in the playoffs with the Bucks and Tom Brady. So again, maybe if you're desperate for running back or if you're sitting pretty and you want a guy to stash just to see what happens, he can certainly be that guy, but I wouldn't, you know, be putting all my eggs in his basket because, again, we just haven't quite seen it yet, but probably more to come as he gets comfortable in that Buffalo offense the next few weeks.
Did you see the picture of him in Buffalo? And he said, you know, this place is cold as a penguin's arse.
Yeah.
But he looked ripped and toned, and yeah, I'm like, all right, that's a guy I'd want on my team, you know?
Right.
All right, wide receivers from the Washington Commanders. I wonder if they're going to change their name, right? That's what they said.
I don't know.
Yeah. Jahan Dotson, 54% rostered. New England, Seattle, and the Giants. Pretty good games there.
Yeah, so he was a guy that was definitely drafted this season, and then he was very disappointing to start the year. But he's been coming on late. I think he has a touchdown in his last two games, 69 yards and a touchdown. And again, Washington has been, I think they've thrown the ball the most this season. Sam Howell has just like a million passing attempts, and he gets sacked a ton, but they throw the ball a ton. So Jahan Dotson, definitely a guy that I wouldn't mind adding to my team. Again, what we're getting these last few weeks is what we thought we were going to get at the beginning of the season. So certainly a valuable weapon, what looks like, you know, as he's coming on in the back half of the season here.
New England, DeMario Douglas, 6% rostered. Washington, the Colts, and then a bye week coming up.
Yeah, he's a guy that, again, I don't love the Patriots offense, obviously, with Mac Jones throwing them, but he's probably their number one option. He's been kind of getting a lot of work lately. He's probably their most talented pass catcher. Again, not a high-volume passing offense, but you could do worse than Demario Douglas. But, again, I don't believe too much of it quite yet. Just not a guy in a high-volume offense, but if you're desperate, certainly somebody you could play as he's gotten 7 targets back-to-back weeks.
Couple of guys from Detroit I'm going to go over. We don't have to stop. Jameson Williams, 57% rostered. Josh Reynolds, 45% rostered. But I want to get to Rashid Shaheed. I think we'll be talking about him later also. New Orleans, 34% rostered. Chicago, Minnesota coming up. Could be a nice little play.
Yeah, he's a guy that I kind of like playing if you're like, or a big underdog in your fantasy matchup, or like you need a big game, because he's kind of like a guy that's going to score 20 or he's going to score 2, right? He's not going to give you a solid floor, but he has the ability to score, you know, a 60-yard touchdown in any given play because he's super fast. He's super electric. Derek Carr's been feeding him deep. So, again, not a guy that I want if I'm looking for consistency, but a guy that is a super high upside play where if I need, you know, to get 20 points out of a receiver off the waivers, he's probably that guy.
And we talked about Quentin Johnson. You want to see it first, but 36% roster, a good stash there. He's got the Jets, the Lions, and Green Bay. So not too shabby of a schedule there. And then going on to tight ends. Tight ends are kind of popping up now. There's some good tight ends that are not very much not a high percentage rostered here. Trey McBride from Arizona, 28% rostered, getting a ton of opportunities. Cleveland, Atlanta, Houston coming up, which is a nice little slate.
Yeah, and again, if Kyler plays, obviously that's a much improved quarterback play there. So he's getting looks with Dobbs. He was getting looks with from Clayton Toon this last week. But again, if there's better quarterback play there, there's not a lot of weapons outside of him. So yeah, again, look at the game he had a couple weeks ago was, you know, 14 targets, 10 catches, 95 yards and a touchdown. You're not going to see that every week. But nice to see that he was kind of becoming that guy. So again, with Kyler there, I think his stock is definitely going up.
Jake Ferguson, Dallas, Taysom Hill, New Orleans, Njoku, 67% rostered. Let's get down to this name. Kind of like this one. Again, you don't want to play him. Michael Maher from Las Vegas Raiders. 25% rostered. I think he could be someone who they utilize more often down the stretch, depending on what kind of offense they start to run here. But they drafted him. It was, a second rounder?
Second rounder, yeah.
And I think they drafted him to play, so someone to keep an eye on. All right, going down to quarterbacks here. We're in an 8-team league, as we always tell you here, so it's the best of the best where we are. But if you're in 10s, if you're in 12s, if you're in super flex, some of these guys you may be looking at. And I'm surprised that the number one on here is not, we'll talk about it after, later. Derek Carr, 39% rostered, and he has been doing very well lately, and they've been passing a lot. Chicago, Minnesota, and then a bye week coming up.
I think, again, like you mentioned, deeper league, super flex league, certainly a viable starting option. You know, his last 5 weeks, 17, 17, 19, 22, and 20 fantasy points. Does have a bye, as you mentioned, in week 11, so something to keep an eye on. But if you need a guy for this week, yeah, at Minnesota, not a terrible start there.
Sam Howell, 46% rostered. Again, we talked about him throwing the ball quite a bit. Playing New England, Seattle, and the Giants coming up. Someone to keep an eye on. And then Will Levis, 7% rostered from Tennessee. I don't know if I want Will Levis. It's not someone I would be looking at personally. Just Tennessee, I don't know. Maybe they're going to have a different approach, but they just don't pass the ball enough.
I actually like him this week. They got Tampa Bay. We saw what CJ Stroud did against them this week, so maybe there's another quarterback that
can. Do they have Tampa Bay this week?
Yeah.
Oh, so all the matches I've been saying, week 9, 10, 11.
Right. No, that's okay. Perfect. So, but yeah, they got Tampa Bay this week, so I'd be curious to see if he could throw the ball anywhere near what CJ Stroud did. But I think, yeah, this is a good test for them. And he looked good 2 weeks ago against Atlanta when he just threw the ball like crazy to DeAndre Hopkins. So, again, I think he's an improvement over Ryan Tannehill for the skill players there. But, again, this is a good matchup. Let's see if he can perform this week.
And that makes sense. This list is a little bit old because I think a great pickup, probably the number one quarterback pickup, is Joshua Dobbs, 17% rostered. And what he showed you right there, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be continue to be the starter, but he definitely earned the job if he's going to be.
I think so. Minnesota 5-4, they're fighting for a playoff spot, and I think he certainly gives them the best chance to do that. So yeah, I would think he would be the starter moving forward. And again, he was pretty good in Arizona, so I think now he has some better weapons around him, he might even be better.
He reminds me of Patrick Mahomes. He reminds me of that backyard ball type of stuff going on there, which is scary if you're the opponent. All right, team defenses to maybe target. Cleveland Browns, the Saints, the Chargers. I've been doing good things. Of course, the Steelers, but they're 59% rostered. All right, moving on. Those are the pickups. Check them out. Let's talk about the matchups. These matchups were weeks ago. But we're still going to go over them. So the old score, or the score before these matchups we talk about, I was 11-14, and you and Alisair were 12-13. And let's go over the games here. So we had, this was week six, I think, 3 weeks ago, our lovely hiatus. We had Denver at Kansas City. Kansas City by 10.5 points, and they won by 11 points. We all picked Kansas City. That's a win-win-win for everyone. New England at Las Vegas. Las Vegas by 2.5. You both pick Las Vegas, so I said I'm going to go against you and pick New England. That was a poor decision because Las Vegas won by 3 points, 21-17. 4 points. And then Indianapolis at Jacksonville. Jacksonville by 4.5 points. Indy 20, Jacksonville 37. So they covered. You and me picked Jacksonville. Eliseo picked Indianapolis. Minnesota at Chicago. Minnesota by 3 points. And Minnesota took it 19-13. Again, you both picked Minnesota. I said I'll go against you and pick Chicago. Poor decision. Last, Detroit at Tampa Bay. Detroit by 3 points. Detroit 20, Tampa Bay 6. They covered. We all picked Detroit. All in all, I was 3-2 on the week. Eliseo was 4-1. And you, my friend, were 5-0.
And then you guys disappeared for 3 weeks. So I'm not sure if that was the reason or not.
I will reclaim the title starting this week. So scores up until today, 14-16 for me. 16-14 for Eliseo, and 17-13 with that winning record for Brandon over here. All right, this week we're going to pick five games as we do. It's going to be, am I on the right thing here?
Yeah.
Houston, yes. Houston at Cincinnati. Houston is 4-4. Cincinnati is 5-3. Cincinnati by 7 points is the spread, and then over-under is 48.
Yeah, and we have Eliseo's picks, so
we do.
Read those first.
You have them, right?
I have them.
Okay, yep. Perfect.
So Eliseo took Cincinnati minus 7, and then you and I can alternate moving forward. So I'll start, and yes, this game's fun. I think, again, Houston 4-4, which is not what we expected. We expected them to be terrible, and they've been kind of competitive in every game, so... can they keep it up as they go to a much improved Cincinnati team? I think they can somewhat keep it close, but again, I think what we've seen from Cincinnati has been outstanding the last 2 weeks. Joe Burrow's fully healthy. Yeah, I see you starting to type it. You can keep going. Joe Burrow, the calf is healthy now. He's scrambling. He's making plays. I like Cincinnati making a statement here. So give me Cincinnati minus the 7.
I like that it's minus the 7. Because I feel like I can do this, and it didn't work out last time. But you know what? I mean, CJ Stroud, man. Houston, they are on fire. I think it's going to be one of two things. You know, I love to say
they're
that.
They're going to win or they're going to lose.
I can really see it going both ways. It could be a defensive battle randomly, but I really think it's going to be a high-scoring back-and-forth game. I'm going to go with Houston because I need the wins over you guys. San Francisco at Jacksonville. San Francisco by 3, over under 46. San Fran's 5-3. Jacksonville 6-2. Who would have thought that, yeah, right?
It's a fun one. LSAO will have San Francisco minus the 3, and you can go first on this one.
This is tough. I mean, Jacksonville 6-2. Like, it just, you know, you, I wouldn't, if you were to ask me if San Fran or Jacksonville had the better record, I would say San Francisco.
Right.
But they've had a rough couple weeks. They're kind of coming back down from the clouds. And they have some injuries as well. I think people are starting to figure them out. This is tough. But I think that they can still get it done. I'm going to go with San Francisco.
Okay. As you mentioned, San Francisco's been pretty bad the last couple of weeks. Purdy hasn't been great. Obviously, had the bye week last week. Hopefully, they get a little bit healthy. But I am going to take Jacksonville in this game. It's a 10 a.m. West Coast game. It's being played in Jacksonville, which is a 1 o'clock game there. But for San Francisco, it's like a 10 a.m. game. So West Coast, traveling east. I think they struggle a little bit. But I think it's a big prove-it game for Jacksonville. So I will take them at home plus 3.
New Orleans at Minnesota. They're both 5-4. New Orleans is favored by 2.5 points. The over and under is 41.
Yes, LSAO has New Orleans in this one. This is kind of an interesting game. I think it's kind of 2 5-4 teams that haven't been great this season. But this is big for the NFC playoff picture for teams fighting for playoff spots. So, again, we saw what Josh Dobbs did last week on 3 days of preparation. Give him an extra week, and I think he's going to be really good this week. So I'm riding the Josh Dobbs wave. So give me Minnesota plus 2.5 at home.
Oh, man, this is tough because I do love Josh Dobbs, and I think I think that he's going to continue to do his greatness. But I also like Derek Carr, and I like what he's doing over there, and they got some playmaking ability. But, man, I like an underdog story. I'm going to go with Minnesota and Josh Dobbs in that backyard ball. All right, Detroit at the Chargers. Detroit is 6-2. Chargers are 4-4. Detroit is favored by 2.5 points. Over and under is 48.5, which is quite a big over under for this game.
Yeah, this could be exciting. A lot of fireworks. So LSAO took Detroit minus 2.5.
All right. The Chargers have been not getting it done. I think Keenan Allen actually plays better with Mike Williams on the team. That's part of it. And then, of course, we haven't had anybody step up. Quentin Johnson hasn't really done it yet. Tight ends are here and there. Of course, Eckler is great, but it can't just be Eckler all the time. Detroit has a great overall team. Although the Chargers, the defense has been getting better. So I think it's going to kind of come down to that. And I think it's going to be an upset. I think the Chargers are going to win the game. Forget the point spread.
Okay, I like that. I can't quit the Chargers either. I feel like I pick them all the time, and I want them just to be better. There's another coach that I'm not a big fan of, Brandon Staley. But, again, I think last week's win against the Jets, again, they went on the road. The Jets, again, not great with Zach Wilson, but they still, it was a statement win for the Chargers. And again, they need to win these games to maintain pace in the AFC. So give me the Chargers plus 2.5 at home. As you mentioned, I think they pull out a big victory this week.
The game everyone's talking about, the New York Jets at the Las Vegas Raiders. 4-4 for the Jets, 4-5 for the Raiders. The Jets are favored by 1.5 points and a whopping over and under of 36 points.
Yeah, this we've been treated to, again, I think we talked about this at the beginning of the year, is there was so many Jets like primetime games. Again, we thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be in it. So again, we got him on Monday night this last week. We get him on Sunday Night Football this week. So a lot of Jets games in prime time. It's hard to watch. Trust me, I watch all of them, and it's difficult. And so, oh, sorry, this one. LSAO took Las Vegas plus 1.5. No surprise there. I am going to, I wrote down Las Vegas. I crossed them out, and I just wrote down the Jets. So give me the Jets minus 1.5. I think their defense is so good. I think they're going to keep them in the game. I think the offense makes a few more plays this week than they did last week against the Raiders defense. So I will take the Jets to cover the 1.5.
Yeah, you know, Jets have a great defense. I think the Raiders do not have a great defense, but they do have Max Crosby, and he is a beast. I think he's gonna get his way in there, and he's gonna wreak some havoc as well. I think Josh Jacobs is gonna be fed the ball like crazy, and Aiden O'Connell is gonna have another week of actual practice. You know, the coach of the Raiders, I've been watching some of the stuff they posted on Instagram, and he had the whole practice team on the sidelines with him, which they don't do in games. And he was asked why, and he said, man, they wear a jersey, and like we had them just for 2 days. They showed us all these looks, and they were just like, everybody is in it. Like, that team is just rallying, and I think that that Vegas is going to get it done. Is this game actually this week?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're hung up.
No, I thought they were playing Miami next, but that must be the week after. So.
Yeah. It's Sunday Night Football here.
There you have it. Those are the picks. I'm looking to catch up with you guys because I am behind. And here we go. The moment everyone's been waiting for. You get your balls to the wall. Last week on Balls to the Wall, which was several weeks ago.
Last month on Balls to the Wall.
I picked Mac Hollins. I said he was going for 106 yards and a touchdown, and he got 41 yards, which is 4 points. So, hey, better than nothing. You said KJ Osborne was going for 146 yards and a touchdown, and he got 48 yards. So, you know, we're close there. LSAO said Jordan Addison from the same team there. You had KJ, he had Jordan, was going to go for 135 and two touchdowns. He only had 28 yards, but he did have a touchdown. So LSAO wins the week on Balls to the Wall there. All right, I'll start it off here. I'm going to go with a guy who, let me get my notes I wrote down earlier here. I'm going to go with a guy here from the Green Bay Packers. You know, Christian Watson, I think he might be out. He's hurt. We don't know if he's going to play or not. He may play. Even if he plays, I think he's going to be beat up. This guy is 20% rostered. And they're playing Pittsburgh, who has given up the fifth most points to wide receivers, 19.66 points per game they're giving up, and he's going to take most of them here. I'm going to go with Jaden Reed, 75 yards and one touchdown.
Okay, then we have LSAO's pick. He is taking Rashid Shaheed, wide receiver for the Saints, to go for 120 yards and one touchdown. Again, a guy we talked about earlier also. Okay, so my pick this week, and again, I kind of alluded to this earlier. We mentioned him in the free agent pickup section. Owned in, I think, less than 50% of leagues. We're waiting for him to break out. He might be the running back of the future. Well, I think he's the running back of the present. I think this is the breakout game. I'm going to go with running back for the Tennessee Titans, Tyjae Spears. And I think he's going to go for 100 total yards and two touchdowns. I think a lot of that will come via the passing game. Check downs and things like that from Will Levis. And I think he breaks a big run too. So again, Tyjae Spears, 100 yards and two touchdowns. That's my Balls to the Wall.
What is Derrick Henry going to do?
Oh, he's still going to have a great game as well. Again, yes. Tampa Bay's going to give up points, right? They gave up 30-something to Houston. So I think Tennessee will be up there as well. So I think it's an exciting game for both offenses.
All right. Nice to be back, everybody. We will see you again next week. The fantasyfootballfools.com. That is the fantasyfootballfools.com. Go check out the website. Check us out on X, formerly Twitter, Fantasy Fools Pod. Tweet us. What you think about our Arthur Smith? Is he your favorite guy in the world?
The worst.
Until next time, don't be a fool.